Hello and welcome to pod 2 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch for free at eagles.cpfc.co.uk and on the Palace app. Now, after the Bostock interview in pod 1, this is the first of the regular format for these podcasts. And today we hear from new signing Jordan Ayew. I chat to Sky Sports reporter Michael Bridge. Plus, we have Roy Hodgson's first Premier League press conference of the new season. But before all that, let's hear from Chairman Steve Parish. I spoke to him straight after the transfer window slammed shut and asked him not just about players that came in, but also Damien Delaney and Johan Cabaye, who left the club in the summer. So Steve, come to the end of another transfer window. How do you reflect on this one?
Yeah, good, I think, from where we're sitting at the moment. You never really know until you look back. Talking about the January 17 one and... yeah, that looks a very, very good window now, especially for a January window. I think we're going to really get the best out of all those players, especially this year. But we've already seen, you know, some very, very good things from Patrick and from Jeffrey, Mamadou. So I think that was a good window. But this one, hopefully, will be as good. You know, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating, really. Time will tell.
Has the approach changed on the kind of deal you're looking for? We've got two players who are at the end of... out of contract this transfer window. I know you mentioned on the debate show on Sky about the difference with finances when you've been in the league for a long time. Has that changed at all?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think we always try and be smart and opportune. But obviously, it gets more difficult the longer you're here. And we've spent a lot of money over the last 2 years. Spent well over 200 million over the last couple of years. So, and we've got a better squad because of that. But you can't keep spending. You know, you've got to be smart at some point. And in that 200 million, there have been some smart buyers as well. So I'm pleased with this window from the point of view of what we look like we've got to what we've spent. And yeah, there's no prizes for just spending more money than everybody. At the end of the season, nobody remembers that unless you do remarkably badly with having spent too much or remarkably well with spent too little. So... we think we've improved the value of our player balance sheet for not a huge amount of money. So we're very pleased, but there are risks in all transfers and everybody else is strengthened. We all know that. It's going to be very, very difficult this year as it is every year. We've got to try and get off to a good start. So we're not complacent, but we're pleased with the work that we've done.
Just a word on a couple of players that are left. Damien Delaney, how big a servant was he to the club?
Unbelievable. I'm going to try and get over to Cork to see him soon. Fantastic servant to the club. Fantastic in everything that he did. Perfect. Set the standards, really, from the day he arrived, along with Mele. Never missed a day's training. Always gave 1,000% in training. Always expected everybody else to do that. Worked to bring in a lot of new ideas, initially with Dougie. But then, importantly for me, was just a great help to me. Him, Mele, Punch... just a fantastic counsel to me in the difficult moments when we didn't have managers. Great guys, love the club. The club loves them. Damien, Mele, Punch, particularly of that group, but all of that group, you know, whether it's Rambo or Danny Gavadon, always welcome at the club, always love seeing them. But I think, you know, even those players would accept that those three guys were particularly special in terms of what they gave the club, what they mean to the club and what the club means to them.
And Johan Cabaye as well, looking back on that one, his time at the club, it was an important signing, wasn't it, when it happened?
Yeah, I think it lifted everybody. It made a statement that we were, you know, it was the first part of transitioning to what we are now, which is, I think, a footballing team. You know, I think we were a good team at times, but a fighting team. You know, we were passion and desire and belief. You know, sometimes we hung in games to nick them. I don't think anybody would disagree with that, you know, that was in the team. And Johan was the first part of really trying to transition to a footballing team. Some of the football I saw towards the end of last season was incredibly satisfying from a point of view, in my time of being a Palace fan. I've never seen that quality of football playing out from the back, playing through the middle, really cutting teams apart at times on the break. So, you know, Johan was a real marker for that. And he was a lovely chap to have around the club. He's a nice guy. It was a shame, really, it came to an end because we didn't get him at the beginning of his career. That's what we're trying to do with Max, really, is trying to get a Johan, but, more at the start of their career.
And looking to the future, Roy Hodgson just signed a new contract. Was it important for you to time down to that extra year?
Yeah, it's a bit of a cliche, isn't it? But probably the best signing of the whole summer, really. We got an agreement on that very early on, and made sure that we've leaked it out, put it out before the first game. Because I think everybody will be as lifted by that as any of the four signings that we've made this summer. The fact, as I said in my statement when it went out, it's nice that he's got an affinity to the club, and he used to be on the terraces when he was 16 and all of that good stuff. But what's most important is he's the right person for the job. He's the right person for the job. He's brought a system, a process, a knowledge, experience, skill, other personnel with Ray Lewis into the club that we need. And this transfer window, working with him and Dougie and Ian, they've been an absolute joy, to be honest, because for the first time, there was nothing, we weren't trading off, or maybe if we don't do that, we'll have to do that one, and that one I'll have to wait till later. We really knew exactly what we needed to do to strengthen the squad. We were very comfortable in what we had in a lot of positions. We felt we had a good, 13, 14 players. We just needed to add to that, and we, now I think we've got competition all over the squad. We've got quality all over the squad. And we've got a great manager, so hopefully that equals a great season. But we all know that the margins are fine. Everybody else got a great squad. Most of them have got a good manager as well. So we are going to have to be on our mettle every single game, starting on Saturday, which is a fantastic occasion to look forward to.
Steve Parrish there, who was speaking to us just after we chatted to his newest signing for the very first time, who I'm sure you all know is Jordan Ayew, who joined from Swansea City on a season-long loan. Transfer interviews are always a little bit tricky because the player is usually tired from waiting around for hours for paperwork to be done, so I tend not to try and delve too deep, save that for other features further down the line. I plan to end this one with the question, it's the first game of the season on Saturday. Jordan, are you ready? But his agent and dad were still watching the interview, and it felt a bit formal, so I bottled it. Probably for the best, because that is horrifically cringy. Anyway, here's the interview. Jordan, welcome to Palace. How much are you looking forward to getting started here in London?
I'm very, very pleased to be here. It's been a long transfer window, but finally I got it. I got to make the move, and I thank God.
What was the key factor in you choosing the Eagles?
The manager, the chairman, the sporting director, they all did an effort for me to be here today. So I need to thank them. And yeah, I'm looking forward to play with the boys, and looking forward to meet their fans as well, and just have a good season this
year. Last season, you won Players' Player of the Season at Swansea, top goal scorer. So you come into this season with a lot of confidence?
No, I'm coming this season because it's a good option for me to come to Palace today, and that's why I chose to come to Palace, is to continue improving. So it's a step for me, and I'm ready for the challenge, and I'm ready to get to where I think I can get to. So that's why I'm here today, and I think with the manager I can get to where I want to.
Well, glad you're joining us, because it means you can't score against us this season. Last season you scored in both games, the one in that second game. What do you remember about that?
Yeah, that was a really tough game. I think I was on the bench and I came in and I was lucky and I scored, but I think that was when Palace were in really good form, and they really should have scored maybe 2-3 goals that game, but we're lucky and we managed to make a point.
Yeah, for that actual strike, was it one of those ones that as soon as it left your boot, you knew that it was flying in?
Nah, it was just instinct, So, yeah.
Unfortunately, suffered relegation with Swansea last season. How do you cope with that mentally over the summer?
Well, I don't really like speaking about relegation because I think we all give our 100%, but in football, you need luck, and I think we're lucky because we're better than some teams. But like I said, in football you need luck, and if we went down, it means there was something wrong. Where, I don't know, but it's football, and I just have to keep on looking forward and Swansea as well gave me the opportunity and the chance to go, to come to Palace. It wasn't easy, but at the end, they gave me the opportunity and the chance to come to Palace, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, a chance to be back in the Premier League. How much do you love playing in this league?
Obviously, it's the best league in the world, and us all, we the players, we all want to play in the Premier League, and to that, I just need to thank God, because that was my target, to get back into the Premier League, and yeah, Palace gave me the opportunity, so I need to thank Palace, and I need to thank God as well.
You're a versatile player as a striker, also out wide as well. Where do you see yourself fitting into the system at Palace?
Well, you know, the most important thing for me now is just to get fit and to be in good shape, and after, as the manager will decide, but I don't really mind, and I don't know how the manager really wants to use me, but I know he wants to use me up front for me to create and to make things happen. So, like I said, we'll see.
You played with Jeff Schlupp before with Ghana. Yeah. Did you talk to him?
No, not this time, but I spoke to him like a couple of months ago with the national team and things. Like, he has always been positive about Crystal Palace, and you know, I was just curious. I was just asking, and you know, life is weird. Today I'm here today, and I'm very, very happy.
You're making the move from South Wales to South London. You got lots of friends in this city already.
You know, there's a lot of Ghanaians around, so obviously I have some friends around, and so yeah, it's a very good thing for me, and obviously there'll be a lot more Ghanaian supporters, so it's good.
Your dad is one of Ghana's greatest ever players. Obviously, we know about your brothers playing football as well. I think your uncle too. What was it like in your family home growing up? Was it just football, football, football?
Yeah, exactly. Football, football, football. But one thing that I have to say is that like my parents never forced me to play football. I was free to do whatever I wanted to do. But you know, it's just sometimes you don't know what happens in life. It's God. So we're a family who is blessed, and we keep on thanking God for every opportunity he gives us, and that's the most important thing.
And finally, are you setting yourself any targets for this season?
No, like I said, the most important thing for me is for Palace to be in top 10, top 12. That's the most important thing for me. I don't set myself personal targets because I think there's no point for me. I think the sky is the limit, so there's no point for me. And so the most important thing for me is that they keep their team win, and we just stay in the top 12 and have a wonderful season and enjoy it with the fans and with their staff and with everyone.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
So that was Jordan Ayew speaking last night on Deadline Day, and a man who had a big part to play in Deadline Day for Crystal Palace is Michael Bridge from Sky Sports. He joins me now. He's just been in Roy's press conference. Let's talk about Deadline Day. How was it for you?
It was less stressful than normal at Palace. Obviously, you know, we had Sacco last season, Sawloth, but you know, we got wind very early doors about Jordan Ayew coming to Palace, and obviously it was a late announcement, but you know, from what I was hearing from everyone at Palace, you know, they were all pretty confident of it getting done. So yeah, it seems like a very good window.
How long's the day for you on Deadline Day? What time did you arrive at Beckenham?
Well, I always get here about 6 a.m. I left here last night about 8, but I mean, obviously the deadline time has changed to 5 o'clock. Usually it's at 11, so it's ridiculously late usually, especially Sacco, that was late. So that was 6 a.m. till 1 in the morning. So plenty of coffee and Red Bull. So yeah, I was quite happy with the 5 o'clock deadline this time.
But you got pretty wet, didn't you, at the end of the drive? What happened there?
Splashgate. It's been in like Daily Mail, Independent, The Sun. I can't believe it. It's literally Van Aanholt coming in, splashing me by accident, and then we had a bit of fun with him. And then obviously he's so good on social media, as you know, Van Aanholt, tweeting Sky. And then Benteke is like, watch your back, Bridge, and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it ran on so many accounts. It was actually hilarious, really. And it was actually good, given that it got quite... It was a bit of a quiet period early afternoon, so we got that running quite a lot. So, yeah, no, it was great fun. It just shows how many of the players here are just so light-hearted and have got, you know, great characters.
Palace fans as well. It feels like you're part of the Palace family now, aren't you?
It's weird because, like, I think they know that I don't support Crystal Palace, but... you know, they've sent me some really nice messages in regards to, you know, showing that I care. And, you know, it's true, you know, you get so ingrained into a club, you do want them to do well, and you want them to sign the players, you know, we're reporting. So, yeah, like, I have to say, as a message, thank you so much for all your lovely tweets. And it's genuinely, people say social media can be really bad, and which it can, but, you know, I've only received nice messages from Palace fans, and they've always been a club that I know that, you know, especially the home fans at the end, you know, great support. But, you know, social media, it's been fantastic, and, you know, I want to say thank you to so many of them. Just send some lovely tweets.
You're going to get a cake for the fans as well. You gave one to Roy, didn't you?
I got one yesterday. I got one from Bex, who gave a cake to Roy herself, and then she made one for me, which I've tweeted. So, yeah, it's crazy, really, because I'm just literally announcing players who have signed, but, you know, the messages have been great. So, I hope you all have a really good season. And I think under Roy Hodgson you are, because you could tell last season when the squad's fully fit, this side shouldn't be anywhere near the bottom parts of the Premier League. Even though other clubs have spent a hell of a lot of money, I think Palace are more of a settled squad than most. And I think it's more about keeping players like Wilfried Zaha fit and Benteke. When Benteke scores, he's full of confidence. So, you know, I'm hoping for Palace it'll be a good season. And good season would be sort of top 10, I reckon.
And finally, because we're about to hear Roy Hodgson's press conference, which you were asking the first few questions in, just to give the fans a bit of insight, as a Sky Sports journalist at these things, how much of your questions are you told certain things you have to ask, and how much do you have to come up with yourself?
There's always something quite generic in terms of how the team news lies, and then obviously you'd speak to your news desk about is there anything today that you want me to ask specifically. But obviously with the news about Roy's new contract, you know, it was obviously centred around that. It's his first press conference since deadline day, so that would obviously be one of my first questions, is, you know, are you happy with your transfers? So that would be the sort of theme as today, in terms of new players coming in, how they've settled in. So probably more straightforward press conference than most, because you've got set questions which you must ask on week one. And obviously the new contract, which when the news broke around Friday lunchtime, which makes it a lot easier for me as well. And of course, he's so popular here, it's just nice to listen to him and what a gentleman he is. And it's always fun to ask him questions, because he, as I said, he's a gent, and he always answers very well.
Thanks for taking time to talk to us. To play the podcast out, here's Roy's first press conference of the new season.
Oh, nice to see you, Roy.
Yes, thank you. Same.
Transfer window's over. All in all, are you happy?
Yes, absolutely. We set out to replace the players that we lost. We set out to get particular players, particular profiles, which we thought were needed to replace those players. And everyone at the club's worked very, very hard at that. I must really congratulate, you know, of course, the chairman and Ian Moody, but also, you know, Doug Friedman and the people working with him. They worked really hard to make certain that, A, we identify the right people, and then work very hard to bring them into the club. And I've got to say, this time around, I think we've been very successful in doing that.
Goalkeeper done, midfield Kouyaté done, Max Meyer, IU. Was there any other cover you needed or wanted, and another target?
No, I mean, I think we've got enough players now. A couple of players have come back off loan, Johnny Williams and Sally Kaikai as well, which of course further expands the squad. We have Scott Dan injured, and he's been injured a long time now, of course, since the Man City game just after Christmas. But I think he'll be returning to full fitness soon. He's certainly making tremendous progress. So when that happens, I think we'll have a more than big enough squad of players. And most importantly of all, we've kept the players that did so well for us after such a bad start last season and helped us to a decent finish in the league. So that was also very important. Sometimes it's not just a question of who you bring in, it's a question of keeping the ones you have.
Absolutely. So I was going to mention Wilfried Zaha. There was talk of it all summer. Mm. Just how delighted are you that he's still here?
Yeah, I am delighted, and I think he'll be happy too, because at the same, you know, he is such an iconic figure for us at this club. I'm afraid when you've got a player of that quality, and we've got several of them, there's always going to be speculation, because other clubs are going to want them. And I think it would be a strange situation for us if other clubs didn't want them, because then they wouldn't be anywhere near as good as we believe they are. But there's never been any question of the club wanting or being interested in any offers for Wilf Zaha, because we said at a very early stage, myself, the chairman and the American owners, that We don't want to bring that many players in, per se, but we certainly don't want to lose the good players that we have, and therefore we're not going to really put them up for sale.
Did any interest turn into inquiries or bids that you were aware of?
Not that I'm particularly aware of, no, but that doesn't mean to say they weren't there. I mean, the bids don't come these days directly to managers. That's going back way into the past. Now they come through chairmen themselves, or especially if you have a very sort of full-time active chairman like we have, and also through sporting directors. I get to find out about it, perhaps, but as I say, if you wanted more detail on that subject, you really need to speak to the people who are likely to receive those bids. Often these days it goes owner to owner when you're talking about the big transfers.
And would you be maybe suggesting now to Dougie, etc., that Wilf to potentially be offered a new contract, maybe?
Oh, I think that was mooted, that idea, right at the end of last season. So I think that discussion, I know, has been going on, and I get occasional updates, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, that's private business in between Wilf and the club, and I'm just confident that they'll find the solution which everyone is happy with.
If everyone stays fit, Roy, can you see anyone like a Johnny Williams potentially going out on loan?
Well, at the moment we do have some players who need games and who need matches. There's no doubt Johnny Williams is not a good example to give me, because I haven't really ever worked with Johnny, if you take away the early weeks of this pre-season. So he's a player really that I don't know well enough to be able to tell you we need him here or he needs to go on loan. But there are several other players, I think, that have been working with me over the last year who possibly might benefit from either a loan period or a move to a place where they can get permanent football and regular football, which perhaps we can't offer them here, because if they weren't getting it last season, there's a chance they won't get it this season either.
I know I've touched on it before, but just another way, you know, congratulations on your new contract, and
Thank you.
A special day for you.
Yeah, I'm really pleased about it. Of course, it's something which we discussed almost immediately after the end of last season, or even just before the end of last season. And I'm obviously pleased and happy that the club feel that I'm the right person to take the club forward, and they are supporting me in every way they can. And as a result, it was never going to be a problem for me to sign a new contract with them as long as they wanted me.
A new Mayor of London, Max Meyer, is here. The fans are really excited, obviously. It's a big name.
Yes.
How far off is he from maybe playing in the Premier League? Because he hasn't had much of a pre-season.
No, he's a naturally fit person. But when he came to us, he'd had no pre-season at all. And what's more, had played his last game in the middle of April. So his current fitness level is incredible, given that statistic. But obviously, we want to try and bring his match fitness level up to a much, much higher degree than it is at the moment. I'm rather hoping we'll be able to organise a game next week against a suitable opponent so people like him can get some match minutes. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm just pleased to see him fit and well and training well, but I can't put a timescale on when he actually will be fit and ready to play in the team. It can depend, of course, upon what happens in games. You know, at the moment we've had a stable team through the pre-season, and they've done well, so there's not that anxiety to put him in, or the need as such, because the team's been doing well. But who knows, you know, we might pick up injuries and I might need to throw him in earlier than I would have liked.
Jordan Ayew's in. That forward line all of a sudden is looking pretty exciting. Townsend, Ayew, Zaha, Benteke. Do you see them all, maybe Wilf on, you know, them moving around, and you know they don't have set positions. They can all play in certain areas up front.
Well, you can say that, I suppose, but we regard ourselves as a pretty organised, disciplined outfit, so we don't do an awful lot of, well, you just run around where you like. I'm afraid that's never been particularly my style as a coach or manager, and it'd be a bit strange if I'm going to develop that style now so late in my career. But of course, we also try to take into account what players can bring to the team and what their best positions are and where they can do the most damage, and try and get that embedded in our organisation. But it does give us alternatives, I think, which is good, and it also gives us balance. But I think the type of forwards we have they give us a nice balance. You know, we can mix and match very well between them, and also we have forwards who can play centrally or wide, which is also quite an important factor when sometimes you want to change the formation during the course of a game.
Absolutely. And finally from me, looking ahead to the Fulham game, which we've spoken about, but you're so unlucky with injuries last season. How's it looking tomorrow in terms of the team news?
No, it's looking good, and we haven't, you know, been hit enormously with injuries. Scott Dan, as I mentioned earlier, he's still maybe a few weeks away, but he's not light years away from coming back himself. Johnny Williams picked up a slight strain in a training session, so he's not available. Neither is Wickham, who's trained with us on and off, but also has picked up a slight strain. But apart from that, really, everyone is available for selection, and I think that's a great testament to our medical and sports science department for going through a pre-season like we've done, working as hard as we've tried to work, and yet going into the first game, we have no significant injuries to report.
Thanks for working
with us. Pleasure, thanks.
Hi, Roy. Two of the newly promoted sides, Wolves and Fulham, have both spent very big this summer. Wolves have brought in 11 new players. Fulham are actually the third highest spenders this summer behind Liverpool and Chelsea, spending over 100 million. They clearly have bigger plans than just finishing fourth bottom. How much more competitive do you think that's going to make the league?
I don't know you can make the Premier League more competitive than it is. And I don't think it matters whether a team comes up with basically the same team that they've had that has got them promoted, or whether they change the team almost completely by bringing in as many as 11 new players, which gives you a chance, I suppose, of almost completely changing the team. I don't think that changes the competitive nature of the league at all. And when it comes to assessing transfers, the only time you can really do that is when players have actually spent some time at the club, have bedded into the club and the club's philosophy, and then, you know, people can make a clear judgment, were these the players we needed or did we perhaps identify them wrongly? I don't think that's a possibility at this stage of the season. I know that it's a popular game to get people in, and they will then assess which team has done the best transfer business and which team has done the worst transfer business. But for me, I think the only time you can decide that is when the league's well on its way, when teams are taking a clear pattern, a clear shape, and we know which of the new players is actually in the team and which of the new players is there just to provide competition. And I certainly can't do that with any of the teams and their signings. It's sometimes a little bit easier when you get the top teams who maybe just sign two or three players and for an awful lot of money, and they're players that quite often I know and have a clear opinion about. But when it comes to, you know, maybe the 20 players that you could name for me from Wolves and Crystal Palace, I certainly wouldn't be the best person to give you an opinion on them.
You've not quite brought in 11 new faces here this summer, but a few new arrivals are here. We saw what Checo Coyote brought to West Ham. What can he bring to Crystal Palace?
Well, what he's brought to West Ham for the last three seasons, I think he's been there, and what he brings to Senegal as the captain of the team. He's an experienced central midfield player who is capable of doing all the things you want a central midfielder to do. He's not limited, particularly in any way. You don't have to give him the epithet that he's an attacker or a defender, because he can do both. And he's the type of midfield player that we were identifying as someone we needed to bring in, as is Max Meyer, who's a totally different type of player. But we lost two very important players from our team last season who played very regularly. Johan Cabay throughout the season, Ruben Loftus-Cheek when he was fit, spell before Christmas and a very important spell towards the end. We lost those two players and they needed to be replaced by players I thought could come in and seamlessly help us to try and continue the football we had been playing, and that's why we identified Kouyaté and Max Meyer, and luckily we got that. Gaita, the goalkeeper, was a decision that was made even in the January transfer window, but we couldn't manage to extricate him from Getafe at that time. We had to wait until the summer. But that's a straight swap with Diego Cavalieri. We now have still have three good goalkeepers. And, of course, Jordan Ayew, the latest recruit, was a profile that we also identified because we think we've got a good group of forwards, but we didn't have quite as many of Ayew's type. And being able to get him into the club has given me, I think, very much what I had last season.
Did you hold any discussions or make any approaches even to try to bring Loftus-Cheek back to Crystal Palace?
Oh, I think Steve Parish in particular, you know, has dealings, you know, with the people who are highest up in the club, Marina, for example, and Bruce Buck. I mean, I know that they have been, of course, in conversations, and Steve Parish knows how much we would have liked to have got Ruben Loftus-Cheek here again. But I must say that it doesn't particularly surprise me that at the moment Chelsea are saying that they'd rather keep him for themselves and they're not prepared to loan him out. And we did, I suppose, all we can do, i.e. to say, look, if he isn't going to play for you and if you are thinking of loaning him out again, could you loan him back to us?
And just finally from me, the obligatory Wolfstar question. I'm told that he was selected by over 30% of fans playing the Fantasy Premier League game ahead of the new season. How much is perhaps one of the aims for you this season to lessen your team's dependency on him?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to, you know, that question you could put to every manager. You know, you could ask, you know, Pep Guardiola, you know, how effective their team would be with or without Kevin De Bruyne. You can ask Manchester United about Pogba. You can ask Chelsea about Eden Hazard. The fact is, if you're lucky enough to have a player in your club who is capable of making a real difference with his individual skill, then of course, you know, it's pretty obvious that you can't deny that fact and you should rejoice in the fact that you have that player. It puts a lot of pressure, I think, on Wilf. We certainly, as a club, i.e. from the top downwards, but in particular, this part of the club here at Beckenham, the coaching staff and the players, we certainly put no pressure on Wilf in that way at all. We don't refer to the fact that, you know, if you don't play, it's a problem for us. These are statistics that people throw at us, but as far as we're concerned, they're just a curiosity in terms of statistic. We do know how good he is, and we do know how important he is to our play, and we make that clear to him that we really appreciate what you do. But if anything, we would try to relieve, if you like, that enormous pressure on his shoulders to, well, if you don't deliver, the club is doomed. We're trying very hard to relieve that pressure and try to make certain that the club won't be doomed if he happens to have a bad game one day, because he's a human being. He's not a machine, and human beings, sometimes they play very well and other times they don't quite bring their good form to bear when they get on the pitch.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Emma from BBC.
Roy, hello. Am I right in thinking you turned 71 years young yesterday?
I stopped at 60 long ago. I don't I decided that 60 is enough.
I'm just wondering, you've just signed a new contract here as well. Have you still got the same hunger and desire for the job?
Well, I think so, and I presume the club must think so either, because they must make judgments every day and, you know, in their dealings with me, and I presume that their interest in signing a new contract with me would suggest that they don't have any doubts or fears in that department. I certainly don't have any. I've got to say, and I think I've said this many times, you know, age is of course a number, and I really don't feel any different to how I felt even 20 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. In fact, some days I feel even better. So it's just a question of, you know, competence really, in terms of being able to do the job. And I've never doubted what I think is my competence to do the job, and luckily for me, neither do Crystal Palace.
What does all that experience teach you about how to prepare for a new season, and how prepared do you believe Crystal Palace are for this one?
I think one of the things that experience might teach you, hopefully, is not to try to do it all alone and not to ignore a lot of the very, very good advice and a lot of the knowledge that is around the football club. I mean, I think all of us, I'm sure if I talk about people who had similar careers to myself, we've all seen how the rise of sports science, how the enormous amount of information that comes our way now can help us plan training sessions, can help us keep players fitter and in better shape. So all of those type of things is something which I've seen develop and been very keen to embrace. Otherwise, with experience, it's a strange thing. I think sometimes decisions in football, it's very much a day-to-day, sometimes even an hour-to-hour situation. You can't prepare for every situation you're going to face because they're coming up all the time. No match is ever the same. What happens in the game is always going to be quite often vastly different, and sometimes vastly different to how you perhaps envisaged it in your mind. So a lot of decisions you have to make are ones on the spur of the moment. And I presume sometimes experience helps you there, but you wouldn't really be aware of it until such time as the situation's occurred, you've made a decision. If you're lucky and it's turned out to be the right one, you might think back and say, well, lucky I didn't do my first thought there, and my experience taught me to be careful and maybe do something else. But I think otherwise the experience thing is, it's not exaggerated, but I think most of us who can call ourselves experienced, we don't know when our experience is doing us good or not. We just try to do the job properly and as best we can.
Some people have described the business that Crystal Palace have done in the transfer window as shrewd. It right. seems that you've only spent £10 million when other clubs have spent considerably more. Did you have a limited budget to work with? Would you have been allowed to spend more than that if you found the right player?
I think all clubs have probably got a limited budget to work with. And don't forget, we at Crystal Palace have spent an awful lot of money in transfer windows before the last two that I've been involved in, the January one and the summer one. I think what we have done as a club, we've looked at our situation, we've examined what we've got and how valuable some of the things that we've got are, and what we really need to do now to, in the first hand, replace the players that unfortunately we've lost, and at the same time, hopefully, bring one or two other elements into the club that can help us be even better. I don't understand why a club should work in any other way than that. We are a business. At the end of the day, I don't see that we as football managers or CEOs of club should be patting ourselves on the back for bankrupting clubs just by spending their money and unwisely. I think it's up to us to try and make certain that the owners of the club can meet their requirements, and also not be constantly pushed into piling money into clubs for which, of course, people like myself as a manager couldn't guarantee them success. You know, I couldn't guarantee that £100 million spent extra in this transfer window would make us as more successful as that sort of money would need to be justified.
I'm sure you're going to get a very warm welcome from the Fulham fans on Saturday. What is your fondest memory of your time at Fulham?
Fondest memory? Well, there were so many, really, but of course, I'm sure I don't think about it that often because I'm looking forward to many more moments which are in front of me, and I don't tend to live in the past. But thinking back, I'm pretty sure it will be the turnaround against Juventus, you know, the final against Atletico Madrid, the Portsmouth game and the Danny Murphy header which kept us in the league. It'll be those sort of moments. But I prefer, rather than to specify a moment, to think about it more globally and how enjoyable my time at Fulham was, you know, working with everyone at the club from Al Fayed and the administrative staff at the club, David McNally and Alistair McIntosh and all that area of staff, my coaching staff and the players. It was really a 2.5, fantastic years, because I can honestly say that there were very few days that I would leave the training ground in any way unhappy with, you know, what had gone on, and that's not something you can always say.
You say you want to look forward. Obviously, Crystal Palace famously had a dreadful start to last season. How important is it for you to get those points, score those goals as soon as possible at the start of this season?
Well, of course it's important, and, you know, we know more than most, you know, what a bad start can bring. But the fact is, every manager doing interviews like I am before the start of the season will be receiving the same question. And I don't know, you'll find one who will say, no, it doesn't matter, you know, whether we go off to a good start or a bad start, who cares? We all want a good start. But I'm afraid, you know, to be a winner, there's got to be a loser. So if we get off to a good start, there'll be teams getting off to bad starts, because that's the nature of the business. All you can do, I think, is to try and ensure with your preparation that your team is in the best possible shape to play their first game, that they are fully prepared physically, mentally, aware of the opposition, or have all the tools at their disposal to make a good game of it. And then, of course, the beauty of football is you don't know what's going to happen after that. And it's not an exact science. We feel we're ready. We feel that this season, going into these opening games, we have the wherewithal to get victories and to get points. But of course, only time will tell, and we have to wait for, you know, the first, what, 7 times 90, 630, let's call that 640 minutes. After 640 minutes of the new season, I might be able to make a comparison.